Well, today is week one, day two of hearing the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. Today's memory verse is John 10:27. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. I want to encourage you to be memorizing these scriptures that I give to you, because these are foundational scriptures for in hearing the voice of God. Now, remember from yesterday's session that there's three principles in hearing the voice of God. Number one is that God is my Father. 1 John 3:1, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Number one, God is my Father. Number two, my Father has a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. So God is my Father. Number two, my Father has a plan for my life. And number three, my Father wants to make known the plan for my life. Isaiah 30:21. And you shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. So again, the principles. God is my Father. My Father has a plan for my life. And number three, my Father wants to make known the plan for my life. I want to really encourage you to memorize those three steps, and I want to encourage you to memorize the scriptures that go along with it. Remember again, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you take the word of God and put it into your heart, these truths right here, the more your faith is going to increase, and the more your faith is increased, the more you're going to be able to hear from God. I'd like to start off with a story today about hearing the voice of God, that God wants to speak to you, that he wants to lead you, and that he wants to guide you. Since I was 16 years old, I knew that the Lord was calling to me to someday establish a monastery. Now, this is a monastery for missionaries, and it's for lay people. It's a home base for them to live in community, and then from that community to go out to others, to go out to parishes, and to bring renewal, and to teach people how to, first of all, come into relationship with Jesus, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then live out their relationship with the Lord in covenant community. So, hey, by the way, if you're listening to this message and you would like to support something like that, please, you know, get in touch with me. We need some land. We need about $10 million. But anyways, that's not the point here. What I do want to talk to you about is that I went to look at a ranch in northern Arizona with my family. And my Rebecca was about, oh, maybe 5 years old at the time. And Elijah was about four, and Noah Benjamin was about three. We went to look at this ranch, and there was a person that went with us that was probably was going to be the investor that was going to buy this ranch. $3.5 million, 120 some acres, three wells on it. I mean, the house that was already there was I think it was an 8,000 square foot house. It was huge. It would have been the perfect place to start as a community center for the monastery. The place was perfect. Now, Elijah, 4 years old, was having a great time. He was running around this place. We're looking at it with the realtor and this benefactor. And Elijah's just having a blast. Well, it comes time we need to be leaving because it's lunchtime. We're going to take the kids, and there's a little town by there. So we were going to grab something to eat. And I told the realtor, we'll see you back at the office at such and such time. So we leave. The benefactor leaves. The realtor leaves. We go get to something to eat. On the way back home to drop off the family so I could go to the realtor, we decide to stop at the ranch. And we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God, is this the place? So Andrea and I and the kids, we get out of the truck. And we're standing there at the gate of the ranch, and we begin to pray. And I say to the kids, now, we're going to listen and see if the Lord wants to say anything to us about this place. So we're standing there, and we're praying in silence and just listening. We're just listening to see if God wants to say anything. And as we're listening, we get to the end, and I say to my wife, Andrea, "Andrea, did the Lord say anything to you?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, he didn't say anything to me." I turned to my daughter, Rebecca, and I said, "Rebecca, did the Lord say anything to you?" And she goes, "No." And I turned to my four-year-old son, Elijah. "Elijah, did the Lord say anything to you?" And this is what Elijah said. Elijah goes, "Not this one." And he goes running away. And I said, "Elijah, come back here." So he comes back, and I said, "Elijah, what did the Lord say to you?" And he said, "Not this one." And I said, "Elijah, not this one what?" And he said, "I don't know, not this one." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" He says, "I don't know, ask Jesus." So I go to the realtor, and we're sitting down, and we're waiting for that benefactor to come, and the realtor says to me, "So what do you think about the ranch?" And I said, "Oh, boy, it's perfect. It would be a perfect place for what we need." And it was. It was a perfect place. And he said, "Oh, so you want to get it?" And he starts pulling out the paperwork. I mean, $3.5 million. I mean, that's a pretty good commission this guy's going to make. He wants to sell this place. So he starts to pull out the paperwork. And he says, "So you're going to get it?" And I said, No, we're not going to get it." He said, "Well, why? I thought that it was a perfect place." And I said, "Oh, it is a perfect place." And the realtor says, "Well, why aren't you going to get it?" "He wants to make a commission." And I said, "Well, the Lord said, not this one." And the realtor looked at me and he goes, "The Lord said?" And I said, "Yeah, the Lord said, not this one." And he looked at me and he says, "God spoke to you." And I said, "Yeah, doesn't he speak to you?" And he said, "Oh, no, not you." And I said, "Well, why doesn't he speak to you? You know, do you know Jesus?" And he said, "I don't want to get into the whole religion thing and all that kind of stuff, you know." So anyways, he said, "So you're not going to buy this place because God told you not this one?" And I said, "No, God didn't tell me." And he said, "Well, who'd he tell?" And I said, "Well, he told my son Elijah." And the realtor said, "Well, isn't Elijah like 4 or 5 years old?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you going to listen to a 4 or 5 year old? And again, he wants to make a commission, right? And I looked at him and I said, "No, I wouldn't listen to a 4 or 5 year old about buying real estate. That wouldn't be wise. I'm not going to listen to a 4 or 5 year old. I'm going to listen to God. And God said, not this one." So guess what? We didn't buy the ranch. See, God wants to speak to us. But the first thing you've got to realize is that prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. For so many of us, prayer is a monologue. We do all the talking and God does all the listening. You know, have you ever met somebody where you can't get in a word in edgewise? I wonder if that's how we are when it comes to prayer. Is that God can't get in a word edgewise. We come to prayer for dialogue, to be in relationship with God. Now, how many relationships do you have where you do all the talking and the other person does all the listening? Would you say that's a healthy relationship, a good relationship, a strong relationship? My answer is no, it isn't. No, it isn't. But for most of us, take a look at your life. Do you spend all the time talking and God does all the listening? Or is it a dialogue where you talk, he listens, he talks, you listen? Is it back and forth? Do you even give time for God to speak? John 27, Jesus says, "My sheep, hear my voice." I want to hear from God. Let me read to you from The Imitation of Christ. The Imitation of Christ, if you're not aware of this book, is throughout the history of the church, this has been, next to the Bible, the second most influential spiritual formation book for people, for saints. Saints have read this book, The Imitation of Christ. Now, The Imitation of Christ is broken into four books. One book broken into four books. And in the third book of The Imitation of Christ, it's a dialogue between a soul and Christ. They're going back and forth, talking to each other. I want to read to you from chapter 3, verse 1 of The Imitation of Christ. The inward conversation of Christ with the faithful soul starts by saying, "I will hear what the Lord God will speak in me. Blessed is the soul who hears the Lord speaking within her, who receives the word of consolation from his lips. Blessed are the ears that catch the accents of divine whispering and pay no heed to the murmurings of the world. Blessed indeed are the ears that listen not to the voice which sounds without, but to the truth that teaches within. Blessed are the eyes which are closed to exterior things and are fixed upon those which are interior. Blessed are they who penetrate inwardly, who daily prepare themselves more and more to understand mysteries. Blessed are they who long to give their time to God and who cut themselves off from the hindrances of the world. Here's one of the most influential books in Christian history. And what's it talking about? The blessing of hearing from God. There's a presumed hearing here that God wants to speak to you. See, God gave us ears first to hear from him. That's the reason why you have ears, both physical ears and the ears of your heart. And in Isaiah 30:21, which is our third principle of hearing from God, it says, and your ears will hear a word, or in other translations it says a voice, and your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. See, God is always there, right with you, his voice to say, this is the way, walk in it. And it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, when you hear his voice, there's a presumed hearing here. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. In Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. We will be judged as to whether we have done the will of the Father or not. What type of God would God be if he had a will that we had to fulfill, but then he didn't reveal it to us? You know, here's God. You know, I've got my will, a will for your life, but good luck. I hope you stumble into it. I hope you figure it out. No, that's not what God is like. God is a loving Father, and he wants to show us the way. He wants to teach us. You know, God has a will for everything in your life. Everything in your life, God has a will. Not just the biggies like marriage or should I become a priest. I mean, he's got a will for that. And we need to pursue him on that. But God has a will for everything in your life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said that he only does what he sees the Father doing in John 5, verse 19 through 20. I only do what I see my Father doing. Jesus only said what the Father told him what to teach. In John 7:16, he says, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the Father. Jesus also taught us that we must be about the will of God in everything we do. And that will determine our relationship. He says, who's my mother? Who's my brother? Those who do the will of my Father. That determines our relationship, the doing of the Father's will. You know, Jesus so believed in following the Father so that completely that he says this in John 12:49-50. For I do not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. Wow, that would help in life, wouldn't it? To know what to say and how to say it. You see, God has a plan for everything in your life, but we need to be trained to hear. We need to train our children to hear from God so that they can obey God. We're raising our children to hear from God and to obey God. Every night after dinner, we pray the rosary. I hope you're praying the rosary. And then every night, we come up before bed, we read from the Bible, and then we listen. My children are being taught to listen. And then we pray from the heart. Do you believe that God is your Father? That your Father has a plan for your life, and he wants to make that plan known? Believe this, church. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What type of father would God be if he had a will for your life that you'll be judged on and he didn't make it known? I'm telling you, your father wants to make his will known. He wants to speak to you.